Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart and I'm here with a very summary Producer Vin.
Hello.
Producer Vin, I learned loads from you this week.
Oh, really?
I learned about a Hindu festival where you celebrate a young man leaving home and coming back a little bit wiser. When are you going to do that?
I've done it. That's the worrying thing.
Yeah, it was my cousin's Janoi.
Janoi.
Yeah, so quite it's a fancy. Bit like a coming of age sort of thing, yeah.
I'd like to have a Janoi.
Yeah, have you earned it?
Well, I like the idea of 3 hours with 40 people where we light a fire indoors.
Yeah.
I get to run away and eat really nice sweets and then come back with a stick.
Would your guru be, though?
My guru? That's a great question. Well, you're kind of my guru, Vin.
Okay, I don't know if I'd signed up for that.
Well, I've learned lots from you about the formation of ice this year.
That's true.
I've learned about the why the sky's blue. Things like that.
Yeah, okay, all right, I'll take it.
Yes, it's slightly embarrassing that at my ripe old age of 38, I'm learning from a 25-year-old, but you're never too old to learn, Devin, that's what I see.
I'm going to ask for a pay rise now, this is great.
No, that's not allowed. Right, the Evening Show podcast, what can I tell you about? Bastille were on the show this week, Dan and Kyle from the band. Very jolly young men, weren't they, Vin?
They were, yeah. Dan had a baseball cap on, didn't he?
At a jaunty angle.
Yeah, and Kyle was the... He looked like an action man.
He was, wasn't he? He was like the straight man to dance.
Yeah, straight lines.
Yeah, it was quite good. They were good fun when they came in. I can tell you about Florence's classic album as well. It was really weird to think back 10 years and Florence cycling around London, getting inspired for that incredible album, Lungs. What a brilliant album it was. And I've got a few stories to share with you as well, including a disastrous trip to Jamaica and why my lungs still sound like this. Enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart, this is the Evening Show on Radio X, and I'm absolutely thrilled to say that Bastille are here. Dan and Kyle, welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Josh Homme came in the studio once and he said it was like being on the inside of a mint. How would you describe the Radio X studio today? I look quite happy in here.
Yeah, it's quite calming. I mean, the mint thing, that's definitely... It's definitely
a thing.
Up there, yeah.
Like a mint spaceship.
When bands come in, you spent 5 months in the studio and you've come in to another studio. So it's a different studio, but yeah.
It is, yeah, but it's much more fancy than our one. So thanks for having us.
Lads, it's been 2 years since the last album. It's great to have you back. Man. I've got to say a massive thank you because the boss of Radio X is called Devo and you've basically written his theme tune. That's Devo, Dev, Devo, every time he comes on.
Of course.
So you're going to be looked upon favourably by Radio X forever now. So well done on that. But I've got to ask you about the new music coming back, right? You've had 2 years away, 5 months in the studio.
Yeah.
How you're at the point of releasing the music. What are the feelings running through your blood right now about that? Excitement, trepidation, where are we?
All of the above. I guess it's, you know, sort of having been putting this stuff together and, you know, we're really proud of it and being excited to release it, but... No, obviously
it's terrifying. Yeah. I mean, like Kyle said, very excited to have it out there, but it's that weird period where, you know, we've pretty much since we started as a band not really stopped in terms of touring or travelling and recording until the end of last year where we sort of wrapped up our second album stuff. Mm-hmm. And we built a studio in South London and just have been there kind of every day since working on this music, and it's been so much fun, and it's been kind of great just to be in one place for 5 months.
Sleep in your own bed.
It sounds completely ridiculous and we sound like totally spoiled, but like, just it's been such a nice thing for us all to be in London and be home for a bit and to get to make a record and get to stop and that be the only thing we're doing. Like, it was wicked. It was so much fun.
I'm always really interested how bands treat writing an album like that. Do you take it as a 9-to-5, or are you the kind of guys that just have the keys to your own place and just work through the night? Some nights do all nighters.
A bit of both.
I think on tour you just sort of where you have a pocket you will utilize. But I guess it's important, especially when you're at home and especially how long we haven't been at home for, to sort of utilise that time at home, because that eventually will run into the sort of the album being made. If you work yourself to the bone and you're not doing anything but writing, then you've got nothing to help you write. Do you know what I mean?
You need to have a life.
I'm a bit of a workaholic, and so I mean, it's not work, is it, because it's music, but like, you know, whenever we get home, even if we're away for like quite a long time, I'll always go into the studio because, you know, we run a little record label from there, and I love writing for other people and producing for other people as well. So it's just quite nice to have that sort of constantly going on. I found from my very limited experience that you know, quite a lot of sessions, particularly in the States, will start kind of in the evening and run till like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
I just don't know if that's like my experience of those sessions is you then come in the next day and you're like, I think we did something special last night. And you push play and you're like, what were we thinking? I don't know.
One of the games we like playing here at Radio X is guessing why a title has come about for a song. And there's a famous thing that I heard a guy say in London about, nothing good ever happens after 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? The new single's called Quarter Past Midnight. So is this a song, my guess is, about that magical time where everything happens in the 45 minutes between quarter past midnight and 1 a.m. Or am I wrong?
You're completely right. Where you're wrong is that you're imagining that nights end at 1 a.m. or things go bad. And I guess that the album kind of charts quite a small period of time. It's a kind of nighttime record, and it's about sort of losing yourself in the night and escapism. And this song is just meant to, it's the opening chapter of the record. It's the opening song. It's meant to capture that euphoria where some people have chosen to go home,
yeah,
and you're like, nah, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the evening. And obviously, I don't know, it's a sort of like, it's like a view into London and the city,
yeah,
at that point in the night, and just trying to capture that sense of like, that like rallying cry of like just trying to get all your mates to carry on and go on somewhere else.
You've set that up perfectly, Dan. It's a beautiful moment. Well, here it is for the very first time on Radio X, this brand new Bastille, Quarter Past Midnight on Radio X.
It's a quarter past midnight as we cut through the city.
Radio X, the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
So that was brand new Bastille on Radio X, Quarter Past Midnight, and I think there might be a story to tell one day about where that album goes from that point onwards. We will find out. Now, lads, something I'm really keen to ask you about. Almost every band we've had in the last however many years have had some kind of 80s influence in their music, but I think you were pretty much in their early doors, weren't you, with all the samples from all things 80s.
Yeah.
Do you think you're partly responsible for that craze? Do you think you've played your part in it?
I wouldn't take responsibility for anything apart from like devaluing the idea of music for all of mankind.
I didn't think you were old enough to be part of the 80s.
We weren't at all. I guess it's just, it's like, it's appropriated nostalgia, isn't it? And it's I don't know, I think there's something about music that's existed and has almost like had its time before it was always there in the sort of cultural consciousness. Yeah. And I guess you can't help but absorb it and absorb it by other people. But I'm massively into film as well as music, and so in a kind of nerdy, geeky way, you know, our last album kind of referenced a lot of films. There's always, in our records up till now, there's been quite a lot of kind of pop culture references, and I think probably as a way to sort of use other people's stories and pop culture to deflect from talking about ourselves.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I hope it's just, I guess for us it sort of was a no-brainer to kind of do that, and except on the last album where we used a lot of film quotes,
yeah,
and then had to like legally clear it because we're signed to a record label. Yeah, so they were like, nah mate, you can't, because we did these mixtapes before our first album, yeah, and just liberally nicked stuff off YouTube. And we put them up on the internet for like free download and just got quite a lot of like
letters,
cease and desist.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We got like the maddest people tried to sue us.
Yeah.
But, you know, we weren't making any money from it. So we sort of kind of got away with it in the end.
It's incredible that now,
ish,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Just about.
It's funny when you see a record label like slowly backing away.
Yeah.
What? No. Nothing to do with us.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Just back in the studio for the first time for just over a week, actually. I've had 5 days in Jamaica, which sounds like I'm bragging, sounds like I'm boasting. But the truth of it is, I'm definitely not rubbing it in, because the weather was dreadful and I felt absolutely rank for the last 7 days. Since I last walked out of the studio, things haven't been good. So I was over there at a wedding for a bloke. He's called Chris Johns, and he's the man who co-owns Pretty Green with Liam Gallagher. So selling a lot of T-shirts. He's doing pretty well. The wedding was at an amazing place called Goldeneye. Been looking forward to it for months. No kids, just me and the missus. Then last week, just before I left the studio, started feeling a bit rough. Then got on the plane, felt even more rough. Fell down with the flu, so I've had a rank few days feeling terrible in a beautiful island, and the weather's been better back here. But anyway, can't complain, because I was in one of the most special places I have ever been, a hotel called Goldeneye. Now, if you don't know the history, it was owned by a man called Ian Fleming, who wrote all the Bond novels. And to give you a sense of how historic the place is, it's where Sean Connery sang that Underneath the Mango Tree song in Dr. No. It was all filmed there, but it's steeped with history. It's now owned by a guy called Chris Blackwell, who was the founder of the famous Island Records. His family lived in Jamaica, the Cross and Blackwell family. You might have heard of them through your pickle or something like that. But he discovered Bob Marley, and the rest is history. It's an incredible place. And Chris Blackwell's got some amazing characters working for him. A bloke called MacGyver the Driver, who picked me up and took me there 8 years ago the last time I visited, for that amazing Marley documentary. If you haven't seen it and you fancy learning a little bit about Island Records and Bob Marley, I highly recommend it. It is an incredible place. But while we're talking about history, while I was there, feeling a bit rough, stumbled out the bedroom one day, sweating, feeling rank, not even ready for a red stripe. And what happens when you're there is people get to plant a tree. So if you're a famous guest or you're a musician, you get to plant a tree, and they record it with a little white plaque with some black writing on it. So I thought I'd have a little nosy and look at some of the history that's there. And the only one that I could find was dedicated to Lenny Henry and Don French in 1991. So that was the greatest bit of history that I managed to see with my own eyes at Goldeneye, now sponsored by Premier Inn, of course. Happy days, Lenny.
Radio.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Bastila here, Kyle and Dan. We had Frank Turner on recently, and did you know Frank Turner keeps a note of every single gig he's played? And on the last count, I think he was up to 2,157 career gigs.
That man, he's a machine.
Prolific, isn't he?
He's such a machine.
Do you have any idea? Do you have a rough idea of how many gigs you've played as a band?
Say like 35,000 million.
I honestly have no idea. I don't even.
Is there a fan?
I wouldn't even know where to begin on that. And also,
I wish I kept a record of all of them.
Like, kind of what counts as, because you know, right at the beginning when we played to like two people in Wrexham and they were both my mates. Like, as in, does that count as a gig?
Counts.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it counts as a gig.
Yeah, definitely.
We set our stuff up on a stage.
Yeah, fair. Okay, yeah.
And
yeah.
Kyle, if you'd done the driving that day, you'd be carrying that as a gig, mate.
Dan and Woody, the only two drivers at that point,
yeah,
to drive us all the way to Wrexham to play to my mates, and then the other one jumped in and drove us all the way back.
They had a great time, though.
Oh no, it was great for me.
Yeah. A special gig, which leads me to my next question: what is the worst gig Bastille have ever played?
So I used to sort of climb around quite a lot to try and distract myself, and this one time I got sort of, there was a really high speaker stack, and I tried to climb up it mid-song, got stuck on my chest with the legs dangling down off the speakers, like a couple of metres up though, like, and our tour manager had to gesture to him while singing, not breaking song. I'd be like, mate, help me out. So he sort of had to shimmy my feet up. It was just, you know, very not cool. Another time I was climbing across the PA again and like grabbed onto the wrong cable, got kind of electrocuted a bit.
That was nice because he kept singing, like, you know, like professional, kept singing.
We were doing this little gig in London somewhere, and I ran into the crowd, ran up some stairs at the back and onto this balcony, and I sort of was climbing. I wanted to jump over the barrier of the balcony, but as I was doing it, I knocked a drink out of
the... He karate kicked this poor girl's drink over. Was it off the table, out of her hand or something?
I think it was out of her hand, and it landed on the floor. I ignored it, did most of the song from hanging off the balcony, and then as I jumped back over to get back onto the balcony to leave, my foot landed on something. I was like, oh, that felt a bit weird. And as I was walking back down the stairs and back to the stage, I was like suddenly aware that I was dragging my foot along. And when I got back onto the stage, I looked down and like basically the glass had gone straight up through the sole of my shoe, through the Converse, and there was like sort of, it was kind of bleeding out the bottom of my shoe. Backstage, bandaged
the shoe off.
Took the shoe off, and that was
deep. It was like
a horror film.
The glass went way in the foot. Oh.
Did like I used some? We found a towel or something, wrapped it around my foot, then went back on and finished the gig.
Gosh, that's professional. The show must go on.
And then the last one, we were in Alabama playing this festival, this beautiful festival on this beach, and it was like I think our first tour of America, and we played a kind of like mid-afternoon slot. Obviously, we were sort of dressed in black and very, very pale British guys get up on that stage.
And just a sea of like tanned, like beautiful Americans who are just so used to the sun. It's like it's cold if anything. And we were facing the sun. The sun was beaming right down on the stage.
And the gig was live on TV as well. The gig was live on TV, so just setting it up in terms of like really cool context, beautiful people, televised. Some pale British guys rock up and start playing some songs, and my sunburn four songs in was so bad that our tour manager stopped the gig, walked on stage and like hosed me down with sunblock. It was pretty much the least cool band moment.
There wasn't even time to call Dan off stage and do it secretly behind the curtain. He walked onto the middle of the stage as he was stood there and he just sprayed him down. So, and he was like, mate, I've got to save you somehow.
That's brilliant. Did you adopt a particular position? Did you
just embrace it, or did you just look a bit sheepish?
It's just one of the many, many moments in my life where I just want the ground to swallow me whole.
That's sensational stuff. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing your pain and awkwardness and offering band some inspiration.
Anytime. You're very welcome. Yeah,
you're more than welcome to do that anytime.
If I can be in the band, literally anybody can. So
excellent, lads. Well, look, thanks for coming in, Dan. Kyle, great to see you. Bastille are back. The album's coming very soon, and that single, Quarter Past Midnight. Keep your ears open for it. This is Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. You've been listening to The Evening Show. Catch you later, lads.
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
Cheers.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
If you haven't heard this before on The Evening Show, at the beginning of the week, we always like to delve back into an album we love here at Radio X. So over the last 18 months, we've had Arcade Fire's Funeral, Cast and All Change, Massive Attack's Blue Lines. Last week, I did Prodigy and The Fat of the Land, and we've had Royal Blood's debut, I think, back about 6 months ago. So it's been brilliant. All sorts of music covered. And tonight, we thought we would go back to Florence and the Machine and her debut album, Lungs, from July 2009. Can you believe it? Nearly 9 years ago. The reason for that tonight is because I've just come back from Jamaica and she is signed to Island Records, who came from the Caribbean island back in the early, early days. What a great place to belong to. What a brilliant label for her to belong to, because she really does sit with the same spirit of Bob Marley. So, released on Island Records, and it sold over 3 million copies across the world. That's an incredible figure for an album these days. It's been platinum now 5 times in the UK alone, which is a really special achievement. It was number one in the UK, and get on this, number two in American alternative charts as well. So she did it over there too. Florence co-wrote the album with a lady called Isabella Summers, who you might not hear of just as much, but she was her best pal, also known as The Machine. So Florence and Isabella, they were experimenting with their sound and their performances for a few years before they finally refined it down in the debut album, Lungs. There's some great producers helping out as well. James Ford, who you'll know from Arctic Monkeys fame. Paul Epworth as well, of course, the man behind Adele and a lot of Block Party's early stuff. Now, Florence had tried a few different things before she got to this point. She'd tried a bit of country and western, believe it or not, and a collaboration with Razorlight's Johnny Burrell, not always the easiest man to write with, but had never quite come together before she finally settled down on the intricate, the symphonic and beautiful Florence and the Machine sound. So on Lungs, she marries that beautiful string combination with indie rock and, of course, that amazing, incredible, resounding voice, her trademark. Songs on the album include Kiss With A Fist, Dog Days Are Over, Rabbit Heart, which was huge at the time, Drumming Song, which we all remember, and a cover of Candy Staton's You've Got The Love. Now, Florence and Isabella didn't write the album conventionally. They did something a bit different. Florence couldn't really play the guitar, so instead what she did was match loads of really weird sounds together. And she said at the time, everything's a massive crescendo. And she used to talk to drummers, guitarists, people like that who would help her arrange the music and explain to them that the album was a wave of sound that would envelop something that was soaring, slightly church-like and then doom-like. The Guardian at the time had a great description of it. They said it was a sonic labyrinth of xylophones, percussion, Gregorian chants and werewolves, which really does sum up perfectly. I remember interviewing her around the time of this album, just before it came out. I remember her telling me that she used to get on a bike and just cycle around London until she got completely lost. Some days she would disappear for almost 24 hours and actually turn up in the middle of the night, but that did provide a lot of inspiration, which I'll explain in just a second. So here you are, 2 songs from this brilliant debut album, Lungs, from Florence and the Machine. I've got Kiss With A Fist and Dog Days Are Over.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
I hit you back, you gave a kick, I gave a slap, you smashed a plate over my head, then I set fire to our bed.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Tonight's classic album was from Florence and the Machine. It was Lungs, from nearly 9 years ago, 3rd of July 2009. You just heard Dog Days Are Over. And before I played that song, I was telling you about Florence cycling around London for inspiration. Mad to think that between 2000 and 2009, if you were knocking around South London, you probably saw a distinctive lady with red hair looking for inspiration, and she got it from a text instalment which was standing above Waterloo Bridge, and it had the sign Dog Days Are Over written on it, and that gave her the inspiration. The song was recorded with absolutely no instruments in a studio which apparently was the size of a loo. And the B-side, who could forget this, was You've Got the Love. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Before that, I played Kiss with a Fist, which was the debut single, previously been released under the name Happy Slap by Florence's previous band, A-Shock. And the song was initially twice as long before Florence and Isabella cut it down to size. The B-side was a cover of Cold War Kids' Hospital Beds as well, so she knows a B-side too. You've Got the Love, what a hit that was, peaked at number 5, and the Candy Staten original is one of Florence's favourite songs of all time, hence the cover. She collaborated with the XX, appeared with them at Glastonbury in 2010, I remember that very well, what a performance. They did a big remix of the song, and how about this, at the 2010 Brits, Florence duetted with Dizzy Rascal, mashing up You Got the Love with his single Dirty Cash. Remember this?
Come on!
You got the love!
Who's got the love?
I remember that so well, and I remember it was released at that moment as a digital download as well. What a brilliant performance. A real Brits highlight over the years for me. The album cover for Lungs was Florence wearing a pair of visible lungs, and those prosthetic lungs, they were built by none other than her good pal Orlando Weeks, frontman of the Maccabees. How about that? That was Classic Album Chat on the Evening Show, and I'll have another one for you next week.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now here is some great music news. How about this? Wild Stallions are making a comeback. Remember them? Wild Stallions, ringing any bells? If not, here's a little reminder.
Excellent!
That is right, the best news this week in music. Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter will reprise their roles for a new Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, 30 years since the last one. So Theodore, Ted Logan and Bill S. Preston Esquire will return in a movie called Bill and Ted Face the Music. Sounds brilliant. Winter tweeted confirmation of the film, posting, "We are tuning the air guitars now." That's BT3 as well, which I believe is Bill and Ted 3. Somebody posted a brilliant parody on Twitter this week. I don't know if you saw it. Dave Grohl, Justin Timberlake standing together, just showing how much Bill and Ted had changed over the years. Class. Guarantee I will go and see that film, and I hope, I really hope, it's brilliant.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Get on this. Only 26 hours to go until you can hear the brand new Arctic's album. It's their 6th. Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Cannot wait for it. Get on this as well. It has to be a first for an album release. The band are opening 6 pop-up shops over the summer. Never heard of this before. I think it has to be a first. Temporary stores will be unveiled in New York, Sydney, Paris, Tokyo, Berlin, all the glamorous locations. And wait for it. Yorkshire, Sheffield, you can go and get into the pop-up shop there as well. Apparently you can get all sorts of stuff like vinyl, a few other bits and pieces, things signed maybe, who knows. And there's something very special if you happen to be in Australia, over in Sydney. So Aussie fans living close to that pop-up shop can have the chance to watch 5 of the band's favourite films in special screenings, and you can get tickets on the website for those screenings apparently, if you happen to be there. Now I know what you're thinking, what are Arctic Monkeys' favourite films? Jurassic Park maybe? Independence Day? No, let me tell you, let me run you through them. Le Cercle Rouge, directed by Jean-Pierre Melville, one of my favourites as well. The Conversation, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Or The Last Waltz, directed by Mr. Martin Scorsese. Or maybe even Inherent Vice, which was a Paul Thomas Anderson film. Quite highbrow, I think you'll see from that. And I don't believe for a second that Alec Turner is not into E.T. That's got to be one of their favourite films, surely. So just remember that 6th album, it's on the way, Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, less than 26 hours to go. Cannot wait for that. Let's all go to Sheffield and visit that pop-up shop.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast. Always grateful for it. Producer Vin is too, aren't you, Vin?
Always, absolutely.
Yeah, incredibly grateful. If you enjoyed that, please leave a review and tell all your friends, and we will be back next week with another edition of the Evening Show podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Radio X.